Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the words you shared there, Jonas. Some of the things that Jonas shared was some of the thoughts that I had this morning. I thought maybe we could bow our heads and have a prayer before we start. Yes, your Heavenly Father, come before you this morning. We do thank you, Lord, that we can gather in this way. Lord, we can gather here unhindered. We do thank you for this freedom that we do have. Thank you that we can gather with brothers and sisters, Lord, and come together and sing praises to you and to read of your word, Lord, and to encourage one another. We just ask, Lord, that you be here with us and you will give us, in your word, we have free course. Is any hindering spirits here, Lord, that you bind those powers? Just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Merv shared when he was sharing with some of the songs here that how that judge was, there was no mercy. He said, you broke a law, you committed the crime, and you serve your time. Or that's why I was kind of studying. I was kind of thinking this morning about our freedoms. I've been thinking lately about when July the 4th, our country celebrated 250 years of freedom. There's two different freedoms, and they're worlds apart. But the first freedom I want to share on is the political freedom. The freedom to work, to speak, to raise our families without many of the restraints that people in the communist countries face. But there comes a price with that freedom. There's an estimated approximately 1.2 to 1.3 million American servicemen and women that lost their lives fighting for this freedom. With nearly half of them, those lives were lost during the Civil War when they were fighting to free the slaves. So freedom comes with a price. But then there's another freedom that many people celebrate with their lips, but they never experience in their hearts. There's an article that I read that inspired me to share on this subject. It talked about a businessman who appeared to be free. He had money. He had much influence. He could travel anywhere that he pleased. Yet every evening he sat alone with his bottle. His wealth could not free him from his addiction. Then I talked about another man who boasted about living however he wanted. He rejected every authority, every restraint, and every command of God. He called it freedom. Yet he was a prisoner of anger, bitterness, and lust. The world looked at both the men and said that they were free. But heaven looked at them and saw chains. Then I talked about another man who got released from prison. He was set free. After his release, he found a church and he found Christ. One day he testified. He said, "The strange thing is, I was set free from prison years ago. But I did not become truly free until Jesus set me free from my sins." If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 8. I'm going to read verse 31 to 36. John 8, verse 31 says, "Then as Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This is the true freedom that no country can give. A nation can free your body, but only Jesus can free your soul. Many people think that freedom is to do whatever you want. The drunkard wants to stop, but he cannot. The bitter man wants peace, but cannot find it. The immoral man seeks pleasure, but remains empty. Sin promises liberty while forging shackles. Christian freedom is not freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. It is freedom from guilt because Jesus has forgiven us. Freedom from condemnation because Jesus has justified us. Freedom from the dominion of sin because Jesus has broken his power. I looked up that word dominion, and it means supreme authority, control, or a ruled territory. So the dominion of sin would be Satan's territory, and Jesus has broken that power. Freedom from the fear of death because Jesus conquered the grave. So the freest man is not the one with the biggest bank account or the most powerful man. The freest man is a humble Christian man with Jesus living in his heart. We are thankful for our freedom that we enjoy as a nation. But above all, we thank God for the freedom that was purchased at Calvary. Then the question is asked, are we merely free citizens of a free nation, or have we become free sons and daughters of God? For the greatest Declaration of Independence, or the greatest freedom, was not signed in Philadelphia. It was written in the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross, where sinners were offered freedom from the bondage of sin. Galatians 5:1 says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, Paul was talking to the Jews there. They were trying to impose all of their religious laws and religious rules that they had upon the newly converted Gentiles and the Greeks there. And Paul was writing to them and telling them that the plan of salvation was a gift that Jesus gave us, and not you couldn't earn it with just following their strict laws. But brotherhood agreements and biblical applications are not bondage. Some people think maybe we're in bondage, but brotherhood agreements and biblical applications are not a bondage for a Christian, but they're a blessing. I would want it no other way. True Christian freedom is not a license to sin, doing whatever selfish thing we want. Rather, it is the liberating power to live righteously through the Holy Spirit. So then you can turn to your Bible. I'm going to read Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'll just back up to the last verse of 5, there 21. It says, Then as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So then what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died once unto sin, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, if ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to a righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. I think of some of you that went to Fort Wayne last night, that gay festival that was on, that some of those were servants of sin, and they were free from righteousness. They have no righteousness whatsoever in them. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. That word edify would mean to build up or to encourage. So we are free. All things are, it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. Not all things would build up or encourage someone. Then the question is asked, are we truly free? Today there are brothers and sisters living in communist countries, and they're not enjoying the freedom that we are enjoying. But they can be truly free in Christ. It's a freedom that no dictator can take from them. It's a freedom that no maximum security prison can withhold or take away from a believer. Or we can be here today living in a free country and be in sin's presence. Turn to Jesus today and be set free. Maybe we're living here in a free country and we're enjoying all this freedom, but maybe the chains of sin are wrapped tightly around us and we're bound. But we don't have to go to a judge that says you have to serve 9 years or whatever. You can be free today. Some time ago we visited a prison and there was an aged prisoner there. And I noticed his Bible was worn. So I just commented that he must read his Bible a lot. And he says, I read it every day, all the time, he said, because he was serving a life sentence. But he said, someday I'm going to be free. And he pointed up. And so when Jesus calls him home, if he's born again, Jesus calls him home, there's no security there that can hold him. His soul is going to be set free, just like Paul was when Paul was in prison. The angel of the Lord came that night and set him free. That's the same power today that can set prisoners that are maybe like, maybe they've been serving a life sentence, but they can be free in Christ. So I had asked Merv if he would lead a song, song 613 in the Purple Books. And I told him he can sing a few of the verses there, or he can sing the whole song, whichever he chooses. But the song starts out, he will keep thou in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on him. So if our minds are on him, we have that peace of God, which goes hand in hand with our freedom. You can't be free and not have the peace, and you can't have the peace and not be free. It goes together. And then it also says that, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. If we're not born again, we can't experience that freedom, that peace. And then verse 4 talks about, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's the freedom today that we're looking for. May God bless you.